This is our 24th study in the book of Psalms. Excuse me. We come to Psalm 69, and we pick up our study in verse 9 today, going through chapter 71, verse 16. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 69, let's read in verse 8. The Bible says, I am a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my own mother's sons. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. Remember, this is written by David. David went all out for God. As a result, those who despise God vented their dislike for him on David. 10. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of drunkards. Do not be surprised if ungodly people are not impressed with you and your holiness. Do not be surprised if your praying and your piety are a joke or an irritation to the ungodly. Verse 13. But I pray to you, O Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. The more things went wrong, the harder David prayed. That's a good example for us to follow. God's people need a holy determination like that, like David had, a determination that nothing will keep them from praying or living for God. When trouble increases, let prayer increase. Take your life to a new level of holiness. 16. Answer me, O Lord, out of the goodness of your love. In your great mercy, turn to me. When it comes to mercy, God is generous. And that's why he wants us to be generous and full of mercy toward others who offend us. 17. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. It is right to ask God for help, but it is also right to be ready for a no answer and to resign ourselves to God's will, even if we do not like what it is. 18. Come near and rescue me. Redeem me because of my foes. Feeling close to God is a big need for a Christian. Very important. Our prayers may not get rid of trouble or even lessen hell's rage against us, but being close to God will provide strength to carry on. That's very important. Verse 19, you know how I am, scorned and disgraced and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. Malicious insults. That is what David was feeling. Malicious insults dishonor a person. They make them feel bad, and in some cases they leave a person heartbroken, very discouraged. It's hard to endure that. Last part of verse 20 says, I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. He felt alone. It's possible to feel alone even when you're in the midst of a lot of people. And I think that's how David was feeling. And the only thing worse than discouragement, the only thing worse than a broken heart is a broken heart and knowing that no one cares. 21. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. Gall is a bitter and sometimes poisonous herb. On the cross they offered Jesus cheap wine mixed with gall, and it was symbolic of the bitterness and the poison Jesus is experiencing spiritually because of our sins. 22. May the table set before them become a snare. May it become retribution and a trap. Good things like food and feasting can become spiritual traps if people get too caught up in the good things and do not give proper recognition to the God who provides those good things. 23. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Spiritual blindness is a result of rejecting truth. Sometimes, when a person refuses to accept the truth that they know is truth, they stop believing it. They do not accept the light of God's Word, so that same light blinds them. Verse 24. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. You know, even a single drop of holy anger from God could destroy His enemies. Imagine what it will be like when He actually pours out His indignation on them. 25. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents. No one will dwell in the tents of the wicked someday, because it isn't the tent that's wicked, it's the sinner in it, and they won't be there. They just won't be there. There will be no one in the tents of the wicked. I guarantee you, on the new earth, there won't be. There won't be any bad neighbors when Jesus makes everything new. Verse 26. For they persecute those you wound, and talk about the pain of those you hurt. God disciplines those He loves, which translates into hard times. He does it to sanctify His people. See, He has good motives for allowing rough times. But woe unto those who gossip about the trouble His people are experiencing. Woe to those who add to the pain of God's holy discipline with their accusations and their gossip. 27. Charge them with crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. People who add sin to their sin with no confession and no repentance can expect God to end punishment to their punishment. What would you expect from a just and holy God whose forgiveness has been spurned? 28. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. In other words, may they die and may they not have their name written in the Lamb's book of life. That is, if they won't change, then get them away from us permanently, Lord, because they're nothing but trouble. 29. I am in pain and distress. May your salvation, O God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hoofs. God used to accept symbolic offerings like grain and animals, but it was actually the spirit behind the offering and the giving attitude of the offerer that pleased God. That's why, to please God today, people must offer Him a willing heart before they do anything else, and sincere praise and devotion, along with whatever material things they might offer. 32. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise His captive people. God will never despise anyone, or any prayer that is honest and sincere. 34. Let heaven and earth praise Him, the seas and all that move in them. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. Then people will settle there and possess it. The children of His servants will inherit it, and those who love His name will dwell there. The Bible says that all nature groans. In other words, sin has affected the entire planet, and it cannot wait to be delivered. The Bible says that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of sin, and that redemption includes our immortal soul, but that redemption includes making it possible for the Garden of Eden to make a comeback too, and it will. That's why heaven and earth are instructed to give praise to God. There's an awful lot for nature to look forward to, as well as those of us who know Christ. It certainly is going to be a wonderful world. Let's go into Psalm 70. Hasten, O God, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. In other words, rescue me, O Lord, and please do it fast. When we need help, our knee-jerk reaction is to want it right now. Sinful man who is selfish by nature wants everyone to drop what they're doing and help them right now. And often they treat God the same way. Verse 2. May those who seek my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. In other words, they just love hurting me, God. So he says, confuse them, Lord. Shame them and stop them. 4. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, let God be exalted. Stop the wicked, but fill the followers of God with joy, is what he prays. He's saying, let everyone who knows you as Savior and appreciates the salvation you give have good times and praise you for how wonderful you are. Verse 5, yet I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. In other words, I'm in deep trouble, God. Only you can save me. Please don't delay. God hears many desperate cries like that every single day. Psalm 71, verse 1. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. What he's saying is, Lord, you're my refuge. You're the one I go to for safety. You're the one I trust in. God, don't let me down. Don't let me seem to be foolish for trusting in a God that I cannot see to rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear from me, or turn your ear to me, I should say, and save me. When the time is right, God saves his people from their enemies because God is righteous. He listens to our prayers, and he saves us because it is the right thing to do. And he does it at the right time, according to his watch. Verse 3, be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. The writer is confident of God's protection because he knows that God has said he would do it. He has promised it. One of the best times to pray is when you are reading the Word of God, because it is the Word of God. It's in the Word of God that you find things to pray for that are consistent with what God wants. Verse 4, deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil, and from cruel men. When people are cruel and unfair to you, Do not try to get even. Just pray that God will rescue you from them. If you have opportunity to get away from them, do it by all means, but entrust the punishing part to God. Verse 5. For you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. For as long as he could remember, the writer trusted in God. He was taught to trust when he was little, and he continues to do it as a man. The things you teach your children about God will serve them well as adults. Maybe not in every case, but in many cases. Verse 6. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. In other words, you've always been there for me, God, from the day that I was born. You've always helped me whenever I've needed anything. It's only natural for me to always praise you. And the same could be said for each one of us. Verse 7. I've become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. In other words, just about everyone was amazed at his success. They were amazed because they didn't know what he knew, which is that God is the reason for his success. And that's always the case. It is God working behind the scenes that makes us successful. Verse 8, my mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. He is saying, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to make sure that you receive honor every day, that you receive it every day because of how good you've been to me. You see, God's people do not need rules and regulations. What they need is constant reminders of God's goodness, because the goodness of God compels Christians to live for God and to praise Him. Verse 9. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. Don't set me aside in my old age, he says. Don't leave me when I can no longer care for myself. The elderly who do not know Christ often have some of the worst attitudes that you will ever see in people. Often they are filled with bitterness. Meanwhile, the elderly who do know Christ and who have lived for Jesus throughout their life, they have peace and they're some of the most wonderful people to be around. And many of them suffer, but their faith is so strong and it's so encouraging to be with them. Verse 10, for my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. His enemies were whispering, secretly plotting against him. Verse 11, they say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. In other words, God has abandoned him, his enemies were saying. Now, let's get him. If God is not on his side, no one can help him. And that certainly would be true. Because if God is not for us, no one else can help us. But if God is for us, like the Bible says, who can be against us? Verse 12, be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. Don't stay away, God. There's nothing worse for a child of God than to not feel God's presence. That's a horrible experience. That's bad during good times. It's a nightmare during bad times. 13. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. Cover the wicked, in other words, with failure and disgrace. That's what he's asking God to do. And you know what? That will be true, ultimately, of all the wicked. There is no success for the wicked in hell. They will experience eternal failure, eternal misery, eternal disgrace, as well as all the pain. 14. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. He says, I'm going to keep expecting your help, God. We should not give up on God simply because He does not give us the type of help that we would like right away. Keep trusting. He always comes through. 15. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. When we get to heaven, if God should show us how many times He rescued us from trouble when we were not aware of it here on earth, it will probably be too many times to count. We'll be very grateful, much more than we are today. Verse 16, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. He knows that his strength comes from God. He knows God is the one who keeps him going and no one else. God alone is good. God alone is just. Everyone who does not know that should be told that. And so he says, I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. And next time, we'll pick up our study in verse 17. Until then, so long, everyone.